It's a delightful afternoon, everyone. I declare that summer is here. Let's kind of hope it stays that way. Mr. Jackson is not here today, so I'm filling in the sermonette for him. So I thought I would share the very first sermonette that I ever gave 46 years and 1 month ago. I know I'm not that old, but it happened anyway. And this was at a time when, to give my very first sermonette, the pastor said, speak about something you know about. Make it easy so it's not difficult. And I thought, well, I was at the university as an administrator of the dairy experiment station. So I decided the whole point of my focus and function of the job had to do with milk. So I looked in the Bible and I looked up Deuteronomy 27, verse 3. And it talked about here about God's law and the importance of God's law. It says, you shall write on them all the words of this law when you have crossed over, meaning over the Jordan, to the promised land, that you may enter the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then it says, in quotes, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your fathers promised you. So there was a desire to go to this great place that was flowing with milk and honey. Now, that I thought, well, how unusual. What characteristics are there of milk and of honey? Well, I'm going to focus on the milk today, because milk does have something to do with our answering our calling to God's word. In 1 Peter 2:2, in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If a baby doesn't get milk, what happens? You hear about it, right? They're crying out. They want something. And if they don't get the quality of milk, they aren't going to grow very well. They need a sufficient quantity. If you pulled sour milk out of the refrigerator and tried to get them, might not work out so well. They still have the desire in order to grow. And then we're in 1 Peter 2. Let's look in verse 9, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now had obtained mercy. So we're growing so that we can obtain the mercy of God as a difference between our life before and our life after answering the call that God gives you. Now, why does it say milk? So I looked up the what is the composition of milk. If you take a look at the analysis of milk, water is 87.8% of normal whole milk. In other words, there has to be a flow to it. Otherwise, it'd be like cottage cheese, right? If it didn't have the moisture. And the Holy Spirit is often referred to as as a fluid or a liquid sense, like water. Protein, milk and protein, 3.2%. Fat, whole milk, often 3.9%. And it goes through, and it contains some carbohydrates, meaning some sugars. It contains cholesterol, essential cholesterol, because our brain feeds on that. It contains calcium, which is important for teeth and for bones, and for our entire electrolyte system. You ever tried to turn a car battery, turn the car on and the battery was dead? Didn't have the right, the battery was dead. It has electrolytes in the battery in order to generate the current. You got to have the minerals in your system. Or do you ever get a cramp, like a seizure of cramp of some sort, a cramped arm or leg, whatever? Usually a lack of calcium or magnesium, because you have sufficient of that, it'll help resolve that problem. It has saturated fatty acids and others. Now, the butterfat in milk is interesting because some people want low-fat milk, but the fat-soluble vitamins A, D, and E, and as well as vitamin K, with essential fatty acids such as linoleic, and are found within the fat portion of the milk. So the amount of butterfat can vary widely depending upon the species of cattle, whether it's cattle, goat, sheep, or humans, and then and the diet of whatever is producing the milk. Now, for example, the milk of seals and whales can be over 50% fat, which is odd when you compare it to dairy cattle, which will have 3.5 to 4% fat. But the high content is important for aquatic animals because they have a very high energy need. But guinea pigs have a 46% butter fat content in their milk. A little side note, having taught American history for many years, the only domesticated animal in the Western Hemisphere that the Europeans found when they came to the Americas was in Central and South America. They discovered that the only domestic thing they found, animal they found, were guinea pigs that people would raise to eat for meat. I don't know why I was so uncomfortable when I first found that out. But a high-fat milk. Protein in milk is critical, is a source for babies to get enough protein. There are four different types of proteins in milk. And then there's whey proteins, casein and whey proteins. And there are dozens of different protein chains within the milk. And these whey proteins make up 1/5 of the protein that's in milk. So there's a variety there. The milk contains salts, minerals, and vitamins. And minerals, as I've mentioned, calcium and magnesium, as well as phosphate, potassium, sodium, citrate, and chlorine, the milk salts or minerals, they strongly interact with the proteins. For full nutritional value. And, of course, we mentioned the vitamins, vitamins A, B6, B12, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin K, vitamin E, thiamine, which includes thiamine, niacin, biotin, riboflavin, folates, pantothenic acid, are all present in milk. So it's a full spectrum of essentials that are in milk. There are carbohydrates, lactose, milk sugar, glucose, and it gives the milk a sweet taste so that we desire it. We want some more of it. My youngest brother just wrote me this last week and said, went to the dentist and I had zero cavities. He said, maybe it has something to do with the enormous amount of milk I drink every day. Of course, when we were teenagers, we measured during the summer, and we found that there were each of us, or four teenage boys at one time, we each drank a gallon of milk a day. Fortunately, we lived on a dairy farm, so we did it for the cost of production. My parents never complained about the amount of milk we drank. But for raw milk, has even more products, the enzymes. When a baby is born, the mother gives the first milk, which is called colostrum, which is extra rich on vitamins, especially antibodies from the mother. And the baby can absorb those antibodies in the first 24 hours of birth. That's when the absorption capacity is the highest. So now they can be resistant to whatever the mother was resistant to. If we take a look, then, in Hebrews 5:12, we read, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." Verse 13, "For everyone who participates only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Let's be fair. All of us start out as babes understanding the truths of God. All of us come to know the truth one little bit at a time, just like a baby takes in milk and they grow a little bit at a time. Usually they weigh babies when they're born, and they usually lose weight the first week. And then after the first week, then they start to grow with sufficient nutrition. But after a while, the baby needs more than what the milk will do. It needs to get solid meat. As we read here in Hebrews, if it's only milk that the baby gets, will the baby grow much, very much? It's going to be limited. At some point, it's going to transition to solid foods. And there's an argument as to when that transition should be. And oftentimes, it's 6 months to 10 months, depends on the circumstances. But babies start out because it's essential for them. But spiritual babies, similarly, have you ever known a human baby that's a week or two or a month or 3 old or even 6 months old? If you slap a steak down on the plate and say, go at it, kid, let's see you do it. They're not going to be able to do it. They don't have the capacity to eat that solid food, to eat the steak, to eat that. So they're dependent. They're relying on milk. Now, babes, would you say that here in Hebrews 5 and 13, if it's only milk, you would say the people, they only get the first part. They're still unskilled in the word, so they have to grow. So they're, what will grow? They will grow teeth, right? Will grow teeth so that they can consume solid food that's later. But they need enough milk to be able to grow, and one of the components of teeth is calcium from milk. And so just as in the physical sense, we need that milk to get started, it is a transition to solid food where we get full doctrine from the Bible. So when you read it, oh, it's more understandable now. But whereas if when you first read it, you say, well, how can this be? And so learning the truths of God becomes easier as you learn more and more. Because what is it true about anything that we're unskilled at? What happens when we practice? We can get better at it, right? I don't play tennis. No, I've watched it. I know the mechanics of it, and it looks like it would be fun. Now, I played a lot of racquetball, but the ball doesn't get too far away when you're in a racquetball court. I've enjoyed that in my previous life. So when you practice something, you can get really good at it. So what is this reference here in Hebrews 5 about being unskilled in the word of righteousness means? We have to grow. We have to practice at what? Practice at the word of righteousness. What does God want? And how does he want it? And of course, what if we just stay with milk? We'll always be at that unskilled level. We won't have a full range of opportunity for growth. So the focus and the function of milk is to provide an adequate transition. But it's not the only thing for us. As we grow, then, we have to get into a full understanding of the doctrine that God has given to us through his Holy Scripture. And so and I still drink milk on a regular basis. I like milk, especially if you put some chocolate in it. Some people put other flavorings in it, but it's not the only thing. Everything else has to come with it. And the same is true with our church doctrine. Now, if you had somebody who never heard the truth before and they walked in the door, would you take your Bible and whack them over the head with it and said, I expect you to know all of this within the hour? Not going to work out too well, right? Because just like we grow, One bite at a time, one little bit at a time, that's how we learn. And we learn little by little. As we practice, we become skilled. Now, is the milk not important? No, it's critically important that we have that milk and that we provide that milk to others who are learning the truths. And particularly our children. They need milk. They're not going to understand the full-throated truths of God just by plopping them down. Babies don't know how to read. But we can explain things to them. We can cover those things. And as they grow, they'll have spiritual teeth that will now be developed, and they'll be able to take that solid food. And it doesn't matter whether we're an infant at 1 month or 6 months, or we've just come into the truths later in life. We grow. We have to count it that particular growth. So we and notice what it said in Hebrews or in 1 Peter 2, desire the milk of the word. So there's a desire for it. Let us never lose the desire for the milk of the word, but understand that it's a transition to the greater truths of God.